Good evening. This is the Bible study for Wednesday night, May the 27th. We're continuing our study in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. So if you want to turn your Bibles to that chapter, and then let's have a word of prayer before we start. Father, thank you for another time in your word. Thank you that we can study it together. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to our hearts and minds. Remind us of the kind of Savior we have, the fact that he is omnipotent and can still work today with all power and might. So bless the Bible study for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Jesus had finished the Sermon on the Mount, a sermon that he had preached to his followers, and a sermon in which he spelled out how he wanted them to live. And as we've talked about the past several weeks, in the Sermon on the Mount, he set some very high expectations, some high standards. And the question that we've been looking at is, how do we live according to those expectations? On our own, we cannot do it. The only way that we can is with the help and power of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's chapter 8 and 9, again, Sermon on the Mount was in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, but in Matthew chapter 8 and 9, Jesus performs 12 miracles. And the point of the miracles is to show his followers, and again, when he came down from the mountain, a lot of people followed him. The point of the miracles was to show his followers that he is all-powerful, that he is omnipotent, and that he can provide the power and the ability for them and for us to live according to the Sermon on the Mount. So far, we've looked at two of the miracles. We looked at the healing of the leper. And again, Jesus touched him, and that incurable sickness departed from his body. And then we looked last week at the healing of the centurion's servant. This healing occurred remotely. This servant was healed at a distance. Jesus gave the command and the sickness departed. Now, tonight, we're going to look at miracles number 3 and number 4 as recorded in Matthew chapter 8. So the third miracle is recorded in verses 14 and 15. So look at those two verses. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. So Peter's wife was sick of a fever. Now, some of our Catholic friends claim Peter as the first pope say he wasn't married. But why could or why would anyone have a mother-in-law without being married? So the Bible is very clear. Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law, and she was sick with the fever. Jesus comes to Peter's house. He touches her and heals her. Now, I want you to notice the three diseases that Jesus has healed so far. The first one was leprosy, incurable. No medicine, no treatment. Like I mentioned before, if you have leprosy, you got worse and then you died. There was no hope of any getting any better. Palsy in the centurion servant, a type of paralysis. Again, for the most part, incurable. There was no medicine. There was no treatment. It lasted the rest of your life, and then you died. Now we come to Peter's mother-in-law. She had a fever, more or less a temporary illness. His mother-in-law would have probably recovered in time if Jesus hadn't healed her. But he did heal her. And it tells me that Jesus is concerned about the little trials of life. I mean, a fever compared to leprosy and palsy would be a little trial in life. But he's concerned about the little trials in life just like he is about the big trials of life. There's nothing too big for him to handle. And on the other hand, there's nothing too small for him to handle. So we can go to him in prayer, ask for his help, regardless of the size of the problem, and Jesus cares and can help, again, regardless of the size of the trial that we face. Now, the fourth miracle happened that evening. In the day, he healed Peter's mother-in-law, and that evening, he performed the fourth miracle. It's recorded in verse 16. That's what the Bible says. When even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now, the word devils is not talking about the devil. It's talking about his demons. There are many demons and one devil. But notice what it says. They brought many to him. In this verse, in this part of the story, there's no individual cases. There's no isolated cases that are mentioned. And again, the Bible doesn't tell us how many is encompassed by the word many. Was it hundreds? Was it thousands? I mean, Jesus was in Capernaum. It was a pretty good sized city. It was his headquarters while he was in Galilee. It was where Peter and Andrew and James and John lived. It was on the Sea of Galilee. So they had their fishing business there. And so it was a good sized city. So when the Bible says they brought many unto him, we don't know how many. It could have been hundreds. It could have been thousands. But some that came were blind. Some that came were crippled. Some that came were deaf. Some had other diseases. None of them are mentioned. But what the Bible does say is that Jesus healed every single person. He healed all that came. Just think about it. It would be like Jesus going to one of our area hospitals and going from floor to floor, room to room, and healing every person in every room and emptying out the hospital. So every baby, every child, every teenager, every young adult, every middle-aged adult, every senior adult, regardless of their illness, regardless of their condition, all of them, every one of them would be healed by the great physician. Now, if it happened in our day, I mean, if Jesus came and went to one of our hospitals and did that, the TV stations would be there. The newspapers would be there. The TV stations would break in. They disrupt their normal programming, and they cover the breaking news. And I could see the storyline. I can see the headlines. Hospital emptied. No case too hard. Of course, back in Jesus' day, they didn't have TV. They probably didn't have a newspaper. But word spread, person to person, mouth to mouth. And the more the news spread, more people came. I mean, as word spread around the neighborhoods, and as, you know, this person told that person, hey, you know what's going on down at Peter's house? I think that's where they were, down at Peter's house. Do you know what's going on down at Peter's house? The rabbi called Jesus from Nazareth. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. And as people heard this, they came. And as the word spread, more and more people came. They brought their sick friends. They brought their sick loved ones. And Jesus healed every single one of them. And I sort of believe that at least for that night, and again, people probably got sick the next day, but at least for that night, Capernaum was illness-free. I mean, there was no sick people left. When they heard the word that Jesus was healing, they came and they got healed. But there was something else. Jesus moved beyond physical healing. The Bible says they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Again, Jesus was trying to show his disciples that he had power. He had enough power that would enable to them, if they lived in that power, again, the power that he would send when he left this earth via the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was trying to show them that he had power not only over physical illness, but over the spiritual world, over the devil and over the demons of the spiritual world. These demons who had possessed human beings, they moved into their bodies. They caused them to be something they normally were not. They caused them to do things that they normally did not. And with his word, notice what it says there. And he cast out the spirits with his word. He spoke, and the demons moved out. He spoke, and he said, hey, get out, leave. And they left. They departed. And these people that were things that they normally weren't, that did things they normally didn't do, were returned to normal. They became themselves again because Jesus cast out the demons. Again, how many were there? It just says many. Were there hundreds? There were thousands? We don't know. But I do know this. There were a lot of demons that were homeless that night. They didn't have a body to reside in, because everybody that came demon-possessed, Jesus cast out the demons. Now, again, this happened in Capernaum. They didn't have national newspapers. They didn't have a national TV station, but word spread. I mean, it traveled to Capernaum, to Bethany, to Jerusalem, to all the cities that we read about in Jesus' day. You see, Jesus' enemies never questioned whether or not he performed miracles. Their question was, how did you do it? How did you do it? Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This is a quote from Isaiah 53, verse 4. And remember, Matthew was writing to the Jews. He was trying to show Jesus as the Messiah. And so he quoted more Old Testament scripture than any other prophet. But this chapter in Isaiah, the prophet was talking about the coming of the Messiah. Again, Isaiah 53 is one of our favorite chapters in the book of Isaiah. Let me read verses 4 and 5 for you. And again, verse 4 is the quote there that's in verse 17 of John chapter 8. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus healed every sickness. He cast out every demon. But those things weren't the main thing. They, in a sense, were incidental. And I know the people that got healed and the people that got their demons, it wasn't incidental to them. But for the gospel, for the record of the gospel, they were incidental things. They were done to grab people's attention. They were, so to speak, the icing on the cake. The main thing, the cake, so to speak, was that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to heal not a physical illness, but a spiritual illness. He came to heal the sickness, the illness of sin. Sin that separated us from God. Sin, which in our own power, is just like leprosy. In our own power, we can't cure sin. We can't fix sin. In our own power, we are hopelessly lost in our sin. But the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. With his stripes, we are healed. Those wounds and those bruises and those stripes came when God allowed mankind to take his son and nail him to a cross. And on that cross, God laid on his son all of our sins. And on that cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins. Physical healing is a wonderful thing, but spiritual healing, healing our sins, paying the price for our sins, being made right with God. That's the most wonderful, spectacular, supernatural thing that can happen to any person. So let me ask you tonight, has it happened to you? It can. God's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to be saved. And all you have to do, we tell the little kids, it's as easy as ABC. All you have to do is admit you're a sinner. And we all are, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, tells us in Romans chapter 3. Bible tells us that there's a penalty for that sin, for the wages of sin is death. But it also tells us that if we believe on Christ and receive the gift that he purchased for us on Calvary. God would save us from the penalty of our sins. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. So if you admit you're a sinner and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Bible says that we need to call upon him. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you'll do that tonight, if never done it and you'll do it tonight, you'll undergo one of the most wonderful, spectacular, supernatural things that can happen to any person. God will forgive you of all your sin. He'll wipe it off your record. He'll dress you in the righteousness of Christ. He'll send the Holy Spirit to empower you to live the Christian life. And he'll begin preparation of your mansion in heaven. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, why don't you do it now? Now, we'll end the same place that we started. In these miracles, Jesus was showing his followers that he has power. Power to work these miracles, but more important, power to enable his disciples to live according to the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I think I would have been convinced with these four. I mean, if I would have been there and seen that leper, this man that had this incurable disease, healed. If I would have been there when Jesus gave the word, and again, don't know how far away it was, miles, don't know. And that centurion servant was healed. If I could have been there and seen him heal Peter's mother-in-law's fever, and then if I could have been that night in Capernaum and see that crowd gather around Peter's house, and every single person that came was healed. Every single person that was possessed by a demon, that demon was cast out. I wouldn't have needed any more. But listen, there's eight more to come. There's eight more miracles to come. Again, where Jesus was showing his disciples and showing us, hey, I have power. I have power to do these things that have never been done before. And I also have power to enable you to live by the Sermon on the Mount. So as we end tonight, keep in mind 1 John 4:4, the last part of that verse, where it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then keep in mind Philippians 4:13, where the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that it gives us, that if we accept Christ, we can be made right with you and secure a home in heaven. And then, Father, thank you that we have the Holy Spirit. And thank you that the Holy Spirit empowers us to live how you want us to live, to live how Jesus set the standard, set the bar, set the expectation in the Sermon on the Mount. And I pray that you'd help every Christian that hears these words, claim that power, and live the way that you want us to live. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be listening that don't know Christ, that they would take this time to admit their sin and ask Jesus to save them. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.